and to help them create a larger vision for themselves.
Exactly, exactly. Basically, you know, put a it's kind of like putting a plan together for them. You know, if you want to do joint ventures, you go and listen to, you know, Mark Goldman or Willie Crawford, and here's exactly how they do it. And instead of looking at, just as an example, using joint ventures, instead of looking at it and think, good Lord, how am I ever going to get a joint venture with anybody? How do I go about, you know, putting it together? Then click, you can listen to, you know, a 40-minute conversation with these guys, and you know, it outlines basically exactly how you go about doing a joint venture. And that's how I've tried to formulate the whole site, is to be able to help people and help them, you know, with their larger vision as well.
And yet, Terry, you are, in that sense, doing a cooperative effort, and that in itself is a joint venture.
That's true, yeah.
Now, the fact is that, yeah, delegating is very difficult for you because, you, as you say, you want it to be done the way you want it done.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to fulfill your grand scheme, however, you're going to have to find a way to bring other people into it and allow them some leeway.
Yeah.
And because by doing it all yourself, you're going to limit the project.
Exactly.
By allowing others to participate, you can expand beyond what you yourself can do.
And that's actually an extremely important point, because for the very first time in any of the businesses that I've been involved with, I actually took a partner on about 4 months ago. His name's Edwin Ryan, and it's really quite unique because, number one, I actually took a partner on, and what he did, the work that he's done with me, has far exceeded my expectations. So he's an exception to the rule, where I usually don't find people that exceed my expectations, but with Edwin, he's really breathed new life into the site and done a whole lot with it. That takes it to a level that I was not able to bring it to. I mean, I have limited design and, you know, building experience and website building and that type of thing, where Edwin has, you know, a much higher level of experience. So he's actually brought the whole project up a level that I would never have been able to bring it to. So that part of it as well fits in with another comment that you made, where you said that by focusing on the project and looking forward and that type of thing, that I'm going to be a magnet and draw people to me. And it's really quite unique because things have happened exactly that way, where I don't know how to describe it. This is all a unique and new experience to me, but within the realms like you were talking about, that there's a whole lot of other energies out there that we don't actually know about or kind of communicate with.
We don't tune to them, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. That there's a lot of stuff out there that we, I think as human beings, we're very lacking. I mean, we use something like 5% of our brain, so there's 95% of it is doing something else. We don't know what it is. And I find I'm very interested in finding out what the heck it is that the rest of our brain is doing. And I think part of it is actually tuned into these intuitions or whatever it is that are out there. And I read a book, an e-book called Success Engineering by Phil Gosling. And he also explained in there that about these other channels or these other paths. And by just deciding you're going to do something, you just magnetically draw the people and the things into your life that you need to make this thing happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Terry, you are very intuitive, and if when you follow your gut feeling,
yep,
it works well. When you don't, you always regret it.
Exactly.
And sometimes that gut feeling is very fleeting. It may just be a sudden impulse.
Yep, exactly.
And you got to be aware of that if you're going to follow, because it's so easy to let it slip by.
Yeah. That's extremely unique that you just said that, because that's one of the things that I'm working on, is to catch you know, the glimmers of gut feel. And if I miss one, I can always, you know, think, oh, that was something I should have done, because I kind of had that feeling, or you get a little deja vu feeling or that type of thing. And I'm trying to pay more attention to my gut feel, because it's exactly like you said. When I go with my gut feel, things usually work out right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of trying to become more in tune with the other forces or whatever that are out there that are actually, you know, communicating with us, but we just don't readily hear them unless we actually listen. And I think that's part of a learning process, especially that I'm going through right now. And it's one of those things that you read about it and you think, well, that's interesting. Let's give it a try. And then when you try it, then things actually do start happening. Like Edwin came into my life, into my business, and you know, things like that happen. Where with the soul urge, the soul urge being two, where I consult with others, very much for the last few months, almost everything that I've done with the business professional, I've passed it by Edwin first, and we've formed a partnership for the website, and whereas, you know, if he comes up with an idea, he tells me, and if I come up with an idea, I tell him, and we really work through it together, and we kind of bounce ideas off each other. So that's definitely the consulting with others is in there as well. As far as my birthday being a teacher, I've always wanted to lead, and pretty much every project that I've been involved with, if I'm not leading the project, I'm leading some aspect of the project. So that's another hit the head on the nail type of comment that you made there. I think it's life path. You said his number is a three or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That one that deals with communication and creative energy is fantastic. I actually, one of the projects that I have is I'm a consultant with an advertising agency. And a lot of the work that I do involves being creative towards planning, towards creating anything from public relations to advertising to, you know, anything that's going on. So that's exactly me. The next thing that you hit on was home and family. And one of the things that is a priority in my life is that I can spend as much time with my family as possible, where I'm not the kind of person who likes going out and traveling. And a lot of the job that I do with the ad agency could involve traveling. But I try to delegate the traveling to other people in the company so that I don't actually have to do it, because I personally enjoy being home more than I do being on the road. Mm-hmm. And I've actually worked, I have my business at home, in my home office, and I do travel into the ad agency on a regular basis, but the majority of my time is spent in my home office. So I'm here to pick up my kids from school and from kindergarten and spend time with my wife and that type of thing. The one thing that I maybe is going to come into my life in the future is quick thinking. I think I'm probably the least quick thinking person I know.
Well, there's, you see, you've got a little conflict there, because the four energy, which is your personality and your integrative vision number,
yeah,
is more of a plotter, more of a detail-oriented, and the two is also very detail-oriented.
Yep.
But your three life path is where that quick thinking comes in. And you might notice at times, Terry, that when you're in a conversation that's rather upbeat and moving fast,
yep,
that words start coming out of your mouth before you even think about them.
Yeah, that's true.
Little quips will come, and you'll say, where'd that come from, you know?
Yep.
And if you don't watch it, you almost take over, because all these things come out so fast.
Exactly.
And the thing you need to be careful of with that is sometimes, because you're not thinking it thoroughly, you may be very clever, but can be hurtful to someone. So you may need to keep a watch on that aspect. You know, you might get sarcastic or cynical, or a little, put a little barb in your wit, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Oh, that just put chills up and down my spine, because that is exactly me. I have, and I've been working on it as well. It's one of the things that I work on, because my natural instinct is I'm very sarcastic, but I'm sarcastic in, I try to be sarcastic in a funny way because everything in life hits me as funny. I have kind of maybe a warped sense of humor, but everything seems to be funny, and I can there's always seems to be a funny angle to everything. But the problem is, exactly like you said, whenever I'm in a conversation, I'll say things right off the top of my head, and then afterwards think, ooh, you know, I maybe shouldn't have said that because, you know, it can be taken by the other person as hurtful.
Yeah, there's another side to that coin, though, Terry.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can get hurt very deeply
because
you are sensitive.
Yeah.
But you're not going to let anybody else know it. You'll cover it over with a joke or with laughing or whatever.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I've built a wall around myself. I am a very sensitive person, and I've over the years I've built a wall around kind of my emotional button, you could say.
Yeah, so you bury your emotions.
Yeah, it's difficult, yeah.
Sometimes so deep even you can't find them.
That's true. Oh, it's
but
true.
But that shield that you put around yourself, Terry, is not very, very heavy a shield, but it's not something other people can penetrate well. And that also can affect your intimate relationship.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't like to feel vulnerable. And
that's true.
So even though you crave intimacy, there are times when you may push it away.
Yep.
And quite frankly, and I don't know if this can go out in the ethers or not, but there are times when you're extremely passionate.
Yep.
And then the next night, don't touch me.
True.
You know? It, so you got to let your wife know what side of you is coming to bed, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The other thing that you mentioned, Dan, is the youthfulness. And that's another one. There's a lot of points that you actually hit that I'm sitting here kind of, I'm almost speechless because I find it's so unique that just simply using my name and my birth date, you're giving me feedback about my life that's hitting directly, exactly. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it.
It is absolutely amazing. That's why I'm a numerologist.
It is.
It answered my life questions.
It's fantastic. Because the youthfulness side, I'm 30, what am I now, 34, but I feel like I'm 17, and I felt like I'm 17, I guess since I was 17, but I've never actually felt like an adult that has to act my age. I've always felt, you know, like this teenager, and I think that helps me enjoy life because I have a different perspective on life than I find than a lot of people do. Where, you know, I'm very interested in enjoying my life, having fun, and it goes kind of to the point where it actually a point that you mentioned there about the money, where I'm not really concerned about money, although I'm not, you know, I'm not a rich person. I have a comfortable life, but I really, and it's kind of a downfall because I don't watch my money carefully enough either.
Well, there is that spendthrift side, but there's also an extremely frugal side.
Yep.
So it's a matter of how you're spending that money. But you also are a man of faith to know that whatever you need is going to be there when you need it.
Yeah.
Now, along with that, talking about the money and your youthfulness and such, there's no retirement in your future, Terry.
No.
Your best years are still way ahead of you. Your latter years are going to be the most successful and profitable for you.
Okay.
You're going to come into an eighth period, which means that in the years when most people are retired or considering retirement, that you're going to really come into your own.
Wow.
And that the money will be there because when you fulfill this grand project,
uh-huh.
And I'll be honest, I don't think the website is it.
No.
There's something much more grand on the horizon for you,
uh-huh.
But you're not ready for it yet.
Right.
But when you do get to that point, it's going to take a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and you will learn how to bring it to yourself.
Right. Yeah, I think partly what's happening in my life is it all seems to be stepping stones, where back in my early 20s, I bought a house. It was actually when I was 22. I bought a house with the intention of turning it into a rooming house and renting out the rooms and paying the mortgage that way. And that really, it worked for a while, but then it got to the point where I couldn't even afford it anymore, and I ended up having to declare bankruptcy. And even though it was a very dramatic a point in my life, it actually helped me kind of take more control of the money aspect. Even though I'm not as controlled with my money as I should be, it helped me to kind of put money in a different perspective where, you know, I don't go out and get into huge, massive debts anymore like I did before. But also, on the money side, where you're saying, you know, that I can be frugal as well as kind of the other side of the coin where I like to go out and spend, very, very much so, where if I have money, I spend it. I like to eat in fine restaurants and go out and buy nice clothes and that type of thing, whereas if I don't have the money, if I'm in a period of my life where things are a bit tight, then I simply don't spend anything. You know, I put gas in the car, food on the table, that's about it, that kind of thing. So that also fits in exactly with me, with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Something else you mentioned is a couple of years ago where I cleared out, I don't remember if it was a couple of years ago or last year or whatever, but I cleared out everything and kind of started with a new beginning. And I agree with you. I don't think the business professional is probably the grand scheme in my life. I think it's probably a training ground.
It is. It's a stepping stone.
As a stepping stone to something that's coming in the future. Because I find what's happened is while I'm working the business professional, doing interviews, I'm meeting extremely interesting people, and opportunities are opening up simply because I interviewed the person. And, you know, we get to know each other and build a relationship, and these people are extremely successful. So they have things that come up that they don't have time to do, but for me it's an extremely valuable opportunity that I could work with them and learn how they do things even further and you know, help them along with their projects and that kind of thing. So it's really, I think it's a beautiful stepping stone, but it also fit in with clearing things out, because I had another company, another website called BPC Publishing that I ran up until last year, and then I sold it in December so that I could focus 100% of my time on the business professional. So that fit in exactly again. And really, like you were saying, this year has basically been kind of planting the seeds, and next year is going to be the harvesting. And I think that's really where we're sitting with the business professional right now, where I'm on the right on the verge of basically rejigging the site again, and we're coming up with a new plan. I have new partners that are in the works to be able to work with the marketing and stuff, and I think next year is really going to start to see some harvest to the seeds that we planted this year.
Well, don't get too impatient if you don't see that happening as you think.
Yeah.
Because it's a time for the seeds to grow, not necessarily to harvest.
Okay, yeah.
So it may take a little longer than that for the results to be as full as you'd like.
Uh-huh.
Not to say you won't have results.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a time, the year on a whole is going to try your patience a little.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So just be prepared for it. As long as you know that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You can go to a concert or you can go to a play and relax and say, okay, I really don't need to push that hard.
Yeah.
Because if you push too hard next year, you're going to find you're pushing it off track rather than helping.
Okay. Yeah.
So just relax and go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. Another thing you mentioned that was exactly reflective of me is that I need to have people to be successful in business. But at the same time, I would like to be in a lab, you know, kind of a hermit hiding away just doing my own little thing,
mm-hmm.
which is me. I mean, I have a little home office in my basement, and I love being here. This is totally where I love being. I love sitting here working and getting my own little thing done. But at the same time, I wouldn't be to the point where I am if I hadn't involved people. If I didn't have Edwin, you know, that was working with me on the site, and I wasn't talking to people constantly, then, you know, there would be no site. There would be nothing happening. So that's again, it's the same. It's kind of a blend where I love being here, you know, kind of my little hermit side of me in the office, but at the same time talking to people. So I've always kind of, I've got my fingers out in the world type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that really hit kind of a chord as well. The caretaker part, I don't know where that's coming in. I'll have to keep a watch for that, because I'm not really the kind of person that I think anyway as a caretaker. So I have to kind of watch for that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may be a little latent right now. You're under a 7 period, which pulls you away a bit from the society. But it's there underneath it all. It's a very strong part of you. And you may not be aware that it's coming out because, for example, this caretaker side, when you hear a story of somebody struggling, it draws your heartstrings.
Okay, that's very true.
The whole emphasis of your website,
yeah,
as you described it, is very much a caretaker attitude to help people who are coming into the field. And the training in that's very much in line with that energy.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I think a lot of it's probably my interpretation of what your category is. For example, with caretaker, when you explain it like that, I can see definitely then I would fall within the caretaker aspect. I was thinking like caretaker, you know, trying to help people, which...
Well, there is that underlying energy there, too. Yeah. And you would not neglect somebody who needed your help.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm. Okay, yeah, that's... Well, there you go. Now it fits in. The other thing, that you mentioned, that money's not a motivator, and I think that's very much... It's really unique because I have... It's ever since I was 6, I've had this extreme passion to be totally, totally rich. But I'm not obsessed about the money side of things. I want the toys and the fun stuff. I want, you know, the cars and the boat and the plane and the helicopter and the mansion and the estate and, you know, all that cool stuff. But I'm not that interested to say, oh, you know, I have $10 million in the bank. That kind of, like, that doesn't impress me. It's the stuff and the fun things that impress me. So it's, again, you hit the nail on the head once again, where the money is not the motivator. It's the stuff and the feeling and I don't know how to describe it. It's not the money. It's the actual aura or the lifestyle.
It's also the aspect of accomplishment.
And accomplishment, yes.
Yes.
Yep, that's true. And the final point that really hit home is this, you say we're, you know, things, I like to have my projects planned, and every time I take a shortcut, things fall apart, which inevitably, it actually happens all the time. With me, I'm the type of person where if even just doing an interview, for example, I have to have my questions prepared and sitting in front of me so that I know exactly where the interview is going. If we end up, you know, kind of veering off into another area, then it's also comfortable, but I always try and bring it back into the framework that I've got, and it's basically that way with any of the projects that I have, where I basically have at least an outline of where I think things are going to go, and if it doesn't reach my expectations, it's another one, another point that you made, where if things don't reach my expectations, I'm very quick to say, okay, just shut it down and start something new. Mm-hmm. So I think, Dan, I would have to say that this numerology reading is maybe even more than 95% correct. I think it's, which I find is extremely, extremely interesting because, like you and I have had one conversation on the telephone before. We've never met. And now you've basically told me my whole life in a matter of 15 minutes from kind of beginning and, you know, up to past the point where you know, I even know what's going to happen, without even having really any information except, I mean, you've got my name and my birth date. That's basically it. So I think this is really, really, truly extraordinary.
Well, real good. And I've enjoyed reading for you, Terry.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing it on your site.
Why don't we also mention where people could get more information if they want to find out about numerology readings or if they want to have their own numerology reading? Where can they go?
The best place would be my website, which is LifePathNum. That's LifePathNum.com.